On this first day of summer, I am reminded of the words of abolitionist Henry Ward Beecher. The sun does not shine for a few trees and flowers, but for the wide world's joy. The sun shines, he reminds us, for everyone. Well, that's a good thing because the wide world could use some sunshine right now. Although, to be honest, it doesn't always feel like the sun shines equally. It feels like some people get more than their share of warmth and light and all its associated joy. It feels like some people suffer the cold gray shades of hate more often than is fair or right or just. And that reality feels on weeks like this one. Horrible, sad, frustrating, agonizing maybe, paralyzing perhaps. Out of 100 people, those who always know better, 52, doubting every step, nearly all the rest. If Wisława Szymborska's poem makes any sense, half of us get it, and half of us are wandering in confusion and doubt. And this week, many of us may feel like a little bit of both. I know better than to think we are post-racist. I know better than to think the world is done with irrational and hate-filled violence. I know better than to think the sun shines equally on all, but I still find myself thinking, what is going on? We hear by comedians a more expressive, what the? We can think that word, if you want, because it's powerful and it's ugly. Just like the shooting in Charleston's AME church. Just like the killing of the 16-year-old boy in Boston several weeks ago, and the tragedy and the grace of the mothers who turned in their children, two boys who perpetrated the crime. Just like the killing of the Muslim man outside the Roslindale CVS several weeks ago. This candle acknowledges our sense of overwhelm in the face of life's cruelties and uncertainties. We who try to do our best, who try to be good, struggle with the why of so many things. And sometimes we are left with a sense of despair and a hollow feeling in our stomachs. It is important to sit with that reality, whether your hollowness or emptiness is about this week's tragedies or some other part of your life. Pretending that we're not often in the midst of the seemingly senseless does nothing to help us move through it. We are always in the midst of it, and we must move through it. Despair is not a room to sit in for long. The sun does not shine in that room, and we all need the literal and metaphorical warmth of the sun. This candle encourages reflection and discernment. The gateway to a more hope-filled life. Wise after the fact, just a couple more than wise before it, the poet says. But that's progress. Each of us needs to be active in our choosing how to engage in being the solution. In Gandhi's words, being the change. Sometimes simply for ourselves and whatever struggle is in front of us. And sometimes on behalf of the world around us. Reflection points us towards something renewed and something rejuvenating. It's active. And it reminds us, first, that we are not powerless. And second, that when we are here together in reflection, we are not alone. We need not be alone. And this candle is called Hope. I watched a DVD that Eric Swanson gave me a few weeks back called I Am. It's not clear initially what the point of the title is until a little further into the DVD, an interview with G.K. Chesterton, who is asked what's wrong with the world and answers, I am. I'll remind you that this writer and poet, theologian, and dramatist died in 1936. Our dilemma is not a new one. In effect, he meant, of course, that human beings are what's wrong. In our hubris, we have separated ourselves from the rest of the natural world. Where the basis of nature is cooperation, we have chosen dominance. We idealize competition. We're constantly comparing more, most, big, bigger, better, best. The DVD maintains that the degree of loneliness we experience in this country, in particular, is a function of our lost sense of community. But later, after working through all the signs of our potential and all the possibility within us, the film's creator ends with the idea that when asked what's right with the world, we might someday be able to respond, I am, as well. There's a story in one of our meditation manuals about a religious educator who is working with children. She's talking about connection. She makes the point that all the air we have to breathe in this world is all the air we have ever had to breathe. I actually asked some science friends of mine if they could verify that. It seemed in some way, shape, or form fairly accurate. So in effect, she says to the children, we are breathing the same air that dinosaurs breathed. Some particle, some piece of what you just inhaled right now has been here and used by every piece of creation. The children were amazed by this connection and excited by it. We're breathing dinosaur air. So I used this story a year or so ago, talking about the fact that, well, if we're breathing dinosaur air, maybe we're breathing Jesus air. And maybe we're breathing Martin Luther King air. Maybe the breath you just took was a part of his I Have a Dream speech. Maybe you are breathing the air that the Buddha inhaled. But then also we are breathing the air of less savory folks. The point is we are radically connected and radically responsible for each other. Our separateness is illusion. When your father dies, say the Armenians, your son shifts forever and you walk in his light. Father's Day did not have the same strength of beginning as Mother's Day, you know. I'm not sure what that says about our culture. It took a lot of years for the stumbling celebration of Father's Day to become an annual event. Does anybody know which president signed it into national law? In 1972. That's a hint. Richard Nixon. He may not be known for this, but in fact, according to Wikipedia, lest you think I read a book about the origins of Father's Day, Zenora Smart Dodd worked on getting Father's Day established many years earlier by going to trade groups, manufacturers of ties, tobacco pipes, and later menswear retailers. So forgive me your disillusion if any of you dads received a tie or a pipe or some clothing today. The tie and clothing are definitely defaults in our household. I have no doubt they were gifted your gifts with much love and good intention. But it never ceases to amaze me that we need a day to remind ourselves to be appreciative of such a central figure in our lives. I suspect many of us need to be reminded to express and appreciate that connection intentionally, because life gets in the way of communicating all sorts of important things. Even if your experience as a father or your experience with your own father isn't everything you want or wanted it to be, or even if it is, life gets in the way. Forget acknowledging racism. We hardly remember to acknowledge each other. If we're ever going to get to the I am of what's right in the world, we have to start there, by acknowledging each other. You breathe my air, and I breathe yours. That makes us connected, and there is so much hope in that. I mentioned earlier that our little guys have been learning about home in their curriculum and about this church as a kind of home. It is a tapestry of faith curriculum called Creating Home. From the description, it says, "Creating home is not about the outward appearance and material worth of homes. In these sessions, children explore the deep sense of sacredness, the beauty of hospitality, and the gift of loving relationships that a home can represent. The program introduces the concept of a faith home, your congregation, which shares some characteristics with a family home. Like a family home, a faith home offers its members certain joys, protections, and responsibilities. We will all be spending somewhat less time in this, our faith home, over the next several months of summer, at least on Sunday mornings. I hope many of you will join together for the Wednesday Vespers or meditations. This habit of closing for the summer likely originated long ago when Harvard became a Unitarian institution in 1805 and our churches took on an academic calendar. Many people went to the Cape because, of course, it was Boston-oriented. And preachers took off for the summer. More and more of our congregations are beginning to reestablish regular year-long worship. But as yet, we here at Theater Parker are clinging to tradition. As the summer unfolds, I hope you will take with you the three candles of intention that we lit this morning: awareness and reflection and hope. As your lists of summer to-dos reveal themselves, keep in mind these practices of faith that might move you to a new place of understanding yourselves and the world around you, of discerning what energy you might want to bring back here to our gathered community life. Maybe you will add our summer read to your list of books so that we can be in conversation about our various roles in the pervasive systemic racism that we swim in without awareness. We mentioned last week we will be reading Waking Up White. You can hear more about it in the parish hall. Maybe there are other concerns that capture your energy as well. There are so many challenges before us. In the movie I mentioned earlier, Desmond Tutu is interviewed a number of times. You may be aware that he is an Episcopal priest, so he uses the language of theology easily. He has these twinkling eyes, And in his lovely and soft South African accent, he leans forward towards the camera. And smiling, he suggests, "God said, I don't have anybody else except you." He's reminding us, Desmond Tutu, if we want the sun to shine for the world, wide world's joys, it's up to us to make it so. I close with a poem by Stephen Levine that reminds us of our most important work. It's called If Prayer Would Do It. If prayer would do it, I would pray. If reading esteemed thinkers would do it, I'd be halfway through the patriarchs. If discourse would do it, I'd be sitting with His Holiness every moment He was free. If contemplation would do it, I'd have translated the periodic table to hermit poems, converting matter to spirit. If even fighting would do it, I'd already be a black belt. If anything other than love could do it, I'd have done it already and left the hardest for last. May love be on your summer list. Like Bell Hooks says on the covers of our order of service, it's likely we're all searching, even when it feels in the face of great odds, even when it feels like the hardest thing to do. At the end of the day, love is what brings us home and makes the sun to shine for the wide world's joy.